Father, we thank you for this wonderful occasion you give us to come and remember again the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there is an empty tomb, that there is a risen Lord, that he sits today exalted at your right hand, that from there he oversees the affairs of his church and of all his people around the world, and from there he will come one day soon to set up his kingdom in righteousness. But in the meantime, we thank you for the reality, and we thank you for what it means in our personal and individual lives as we go through this life. Thank you for the hope we have in Christ, that because he has been raised, we will be raised. And because he has conquered death, he has done it not only for himself, but for each and every one of us who have put our personal faith and trust in him. I pray this morning that the witness of the resurrection will resound in a very real way in each and every one of our hearts today. I pray that you will speak to us not only about the fact of the resurrection, but what it means, and it's glorious. We thank you, Father, through Christ our Lord, we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Today is Resurrection Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been recounting all this week and some services daily, Holy Week things, and the events leading up to the Lord's crucifixion. And we know that on that Good Friday, he was hung on that cross, he bled and he died there, and then he was buried for 3 days. And on Sunday morning, the women were going to come and they were going to anoint the body with some additional spices. And they didn't know exactly how they were going to get that stone moved away, because people were buried in caves at that time. And this particular one was one that had been hewn out of solid rock. And they didn't know how they were going to move the stone. But it wasn't a problem, because when they got there, the stone had already been moved. And then to their surprise, and basically their fright, as they entered the tomb, they found that the tomb was empty. There were some grave clothes there, but there was nobody there. And you can imagine their consternation. Later in the day, it became clear. There were rumors that maybe Jesus had risen, but the disciples didn't really believe it. They were just so sorrowful. They didn't really remember a lot of the things that Jesus said. Now, if you find that hard to believe, how many here have children? Do they always remember what you said? Anyway, but they were all closed up there and everything. But the reports kept coming in. We've seen him. The tomb's empty. Angels spoke. He is risen. And then later, Jesus himself appeared to them. And we're not going to spend a lot of time this morning on the actual events of the resurrection. Sometimes we do. We're not going to spend a lot of time this morning on the proofs of the resurrection. Sometimes we have done that. But this morning we want to talk a little bit more about the meaning of the resurrection. Because even if we know all the facts about the resurrection, and even if we believe in the events of the resurrection and the historical aspect of the resurrection, if we don't really know what it means in an applied way, then we're not much better off than the people that don't believe in the resurrection, or the people that haven't even heard about the resurrection. Amen? And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about what it means. And here are a few things that we can take to the bank, because these are based on other scripture portions, including some of the Old Testament portions, which had already predicted these events and what they would mean. So, for those who have accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, know him as their Savior, and for all of us, really, whether we've accepted it or not, number one is, it means that sin has been atoned for and redemption is complete. This is a concept from the Old Testament. Blood sacrifices were offered from the oldest times. Abel brought of the fatlings of his flock to the Lord as an offering. Noah offered sacrifices to the Lord when he came out of the ark. Abraham, who God used to found the Hebrew race, he was sacrificing to the Lord every time he turned around. All the patriarchs. And then under Moses it was instituted in the tabernacle that there one would come and one would offer their sin offering. And one would lay their hands on that innocent little lamb, and it had to be perfect and it had to be without blemish. It could not have any blemish on it. And the sin then was imputed and was transferred to the innocent, and the innocent was slain and the blood was shed. But how many here think that the blood of a little lamb can actually take away sin? No. God was signifying the means by which he was going to redeem Adam's race. And it was through the shedding of blood. But it was through one true sacrifice that would come in due time and be the real deal that really would make payment for our sins. And so Christ the Messiah, right on schedule, right at Passover, he is crucified. He is the one that all the other blood sacrifices had pointed to all through human history and on down through the Old Testament times. And while the lambs were still being slain over there on the Temple Mount, the real Lamb of God was being slain there on that cross that day for your sin and for mine. Now, why do we say that the resurrection means that sin has been atoned for and redemption complete? Because if Jesus had not been raised, we would not know if he really was the Son of God. We would not know if he really was the Messiah. We wouldn't know if it was really done, even though he had died. Maybe he died for his own sins. Maybe he died for something he did. But no, he died for our sins. And on the third day, God raised him to life, bearing witness that he truly is the Messiah, and that his death on the cross is what atones for our sins. The resurrection, I will call it the exclamation point to redemption. It's like on Friday when Jesus said, "It is finished," and then gave up the ghost on the cross. God said, "Redemption is now complete." Pause day one, pause day two, pause day three, resurrection morning, exclamation point. Christ is risen. And because he is risen, we know that sin has been atoned for and that redemption is now complete. Number two, it means that Satan is defeated. And I love that word when it has to do with Satan. Satan is the enemy of our souls. Satan is the one who spoke through the serpent in the garden and says to Eve, "Has God really said? Do you think it's really true? Do you think that really makes sense?" And he has been questioning the word of the Lord God ever since. And he has us so duped and he has us so entangled that even sometimes when we hear the message of the gospel, we reject it. But Satan is defeated because, you see, when he got man to sin, he knew that once man sinned, he would be under the penalty and the condemnation of death. Let me tell you one thing, that Satan will promise you the world, but he is no friend of yours. And there was only one who could defeat him, and this is Jesus Christ. And he defeated him not only through his death, by atoning for our sins, but then through his glorious resurrection. And did you know he went to hell for us for 3 days? And did you know that when he rose, he said to Satan, "Give me those keys. I'm out of here with those that are mine," and took them in triumphant procession to heaven. That's why when a believer passes away now, they don't go to the holding place called paradise. They go straight to the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Satan is defeated. Number three, it means that the grave has been conquered and death abolished. You may say to me, "Well, I don't see anything but sickness and suffering and death all around me." Let me tell you, as a minister, I see as much of it as anybody. And yet I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that He's risen. And I know that when the trumpet sounds and when the events unfold that have been promised on that day, He is the first fruits. And then on that day, all the rest of us will be caught up together with Him to life immortal and eternal. Hallelujah! And if that isn't cause for celebration, I don't know what is. You say, well, why does He let things go on? Because everybody isn't in yet that He wants in. He may want you in. And out of each generation, He is calling a people to Himself. And when the number is complete, then the order will be given. Death has been defeated. Death has been abolished through Christ, through His resurrection. But redemption in its final stage is life restored, and that will happen on Resurrection Day. But His resurrection is the guarantee of mine. But make no mistake about it, the grave has been conquered, and death has been abolished. Number four, I didn't put any blanks on that one. It means Christ has triumphed. You know how boxing, I don't think, is quite as popular as it used to be. Now it's the wrestling mess. But you all know when somebody won a boxing match what they would do, right? Raise those arms, triumphant. The choir just sang it. That's exactly what it means. It means, Satan, you are defeated. Number five. Now, for us as believers, for as many have embraced Jesus as personal Savior and Lord, trusted His shed blood for the forgiveness and the cleansing of our sin, here's some more things that it means right now. It means we're rescued, adopted, and possessors of eternal life. That is how eternal life is secured. Nobody can secure eternal life by doing good deeds, because good deeds don't secure eternal life. And good deeds can't undo the bad deeds that we've done, nor can they atone for the bad deeds that we've done. But through Jesus Christ, it means we're rescued from our sin. We are adopted into God's family, even though we were formerly sinners and in rebellion against Him. And now He has given us as a free gift eternal life. How many like free gifts? We used to give away free steak knives at Prices Incorporated years ago. The store was full. Nobody bought anything, but the store was full. But this is the real deal here, folks. And it is free, and it is a gift. And we have eternal life. Not gonna have right now. Jesus said, he who believes in me has already passed from death to life. And that is a fact. The minute you trust Jesus, you have passed from death to life. Number six, it means our prayers are heard. Does God hear all prayers? Now, does He hear them in a sense? I don't know. But does He listen to, validate, and answer all prayers? He only answers prayers that come through the offices of His Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, what? Comes to the Father, approaches the Father, except how? By me. You know why that is? Because it's His blood sacrifice that atones for sin and gives us the right to approach a holy God. And so when we pray and then we say, in Jesus' name, are we just saying some words? Are we just following some formula or something? No, it's because Jesus' blood is what gives us the right to approach the Father. And that's why every time we pray, we say, in Jesus' name. You can't just come in and say, yeah, I'm here. Oh, what about the blood? How many know the story of the Passover? You know the story of the Passover? All the firstborn were going to die. God says, get yourself a lamb, set it apart. It's got to be perfect. Such such a day, you kill the lamb, you shed the blood. Then what do you do with the blood? You put it on the two doorposts. You put it on the lintel. You pour the rest out at the base of the door. And tonight when the death angel goes out over the land, when I see the see you in church? No. When I see your good deeds? No. When I see the blood, I will what? Pass over you. Same way when we approach the presence of God for anything. Where's your ID? Where's the blood? Has the blood been applied? Remember that hymn we sing? Are you washed in the... That's the only question up there. That's the only question. Are you washed in the blood? Are you washed in the blood? Are you marked by the blood? Then you get in. And then, how many have passwords on your computer? All right? It lets you in. And then you're in. And then your prayers are heard. My prayers are heard. Not because my name is Amos Eby. Not because my mom and dad were Luke and Gladys Eby. Not because I'm a preacher. But because I approach through the blood of Christ. My prayers are heard. Your prayers are heard when you come that way. Number 7. It means each of us have been provided with what we need to live in daily victory. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, as you believe in Him, as you trust Him, as you spend time in His Word, He has given you everything that you need to live a victorious life. Some people say, well, I just don't know. I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I don't think I'll become a Christian at all because I just don't think I can toe that. I was thinking this week about that song by Johnny Cash, Because You're Mine, I Walk the Line. Anybody old enough to remember that? Some people have trouble walking the line. You know what I mean? Other times than when they're doing the breathalyzer. But the Lord that gave His life on the cross, the Lord that shed His blood, the Lord that arose on Resurrection Sunday, the Lord who was ascended at the right hand, the Lord who has poured out His Holy Spirit and promised to indwell every believer by His Holy Spirit, in Him and through Him and by Him, you, no matter how weak you are in yourself, you have everything you need to live a victorious life. So if that's your excuse, get it out of the way and accept Jesus today. Because He'll not only forgive you and cleanse you, but as you trust Him, He will give you the power to live the life He wants you to live. It's all there. It's all there. It's all provided. Oh, number 8. It means Jesus is worthy of all our praise, worship, adoration, and devotion forever. Even if you didn't come for any other reason to church, why not come and just say, Lord, here's another opportunity to thank You for what You've done for me. Here's another opportunity to thank You for shedding Your blood for me. Here's another opportunity to thank You for giving Your life for me so that I can spend eternity in heaven. I tell you what, if we came to the Lord's house every Sunday just for that one reason alone, would it be worth it? Would it be enough reason? It would absolutely be enough reason. What we do as believers, it isn't to earn His favor. We've already got that through the blood that Jesus shed. It's to show our gratitude to Him. Oh, and number 9. Oh, yes. It means the best is still ahead. We sing a song, sweeter, 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 as the days go by. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus guards and keeps me, and He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is what? Sweeter than the day before. But I tell you what, the best is still ahead. We tell that story about the lady that wanted to be buried with a fork in her hand. The preacher went and said, Sister, she was up in years. He said, Do you have any requests? I know your time's drawing nigh. She said, Yeah, preacher, just one. I want to be buried with a fork in my hand. He said, Well, may I ask why? She said, Sure. She said, You know all those fellowship dinners and everything we have all the time? She said, When they say grab your fork, I know the best is yet ahead. Because that's dessert time. And yes, believer, no matter how wonderful it may be right now to serve Jesus, like somebody said, and the grammar's not correct, you ain't seen nothing yet, honey. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And may we add, have trusted Christ, who know of His death for them on the cross, who know of His shed blood, who know the meaning of it, and who also know that they have a risen Savior and that know the meaning of that as well. So, believer, as we come today, yes, we celebrate the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus, but we also celebrate everything that it means. And I hope that you're living in the meaning of the resurrection. It's a terrible thing to say, yeah, I accepted Jesus a whole bunch of years ago, but I'm really not living for Him now. And things like that. That's a shame, because it's all going to waste. Because He did it for you, He secured it for you, and it's right there. And if you don't know the joy of serving Jesus, what better day than on an Easter Sunday when we come to celebrate His glorious resurrection, which seals and ratifies the work of redemption. What better day than today to come down and say, Pastor Eby, I want to receive Jesus today as my Savior and Lord. Or maybe you just want to come and recommit yourself, rededicate yourself to the Lord. Folks, the resurrection is a reality. Christ is risen. And the congregation said, He is risen indeed. We're going to pray here in a minute, then we're going to have a song. And during that song, you're welcome to come down and share anything that's on your heart. And then we'll be closing the service today with communion, because we always have communion on the first Sunday. And that's to commemorate the blood that our Lord shed for us and His broken body for us. Would you join me in prayer? Father, today I just come to You and I just ask, Lord, that You would be working in hearts today. You know everybody here. You know everywhere they've been. And You know what they're going through right now. And You know all the secret things that maybe even family members don't know, or that they haven't even entrusted to a friend. But You know it all. And You've got everything we need today. For our healing, for our restoration, for our cleansing, for our forgiveness, for a walk with You, and then ultimately an eternity with You in glory. Thank You that the benefits of the resurrection start now and last through eternity. And thank You that Christ's resurrection is actually our own when we embrace Him. Do be working in hearts today. Bear witness by Your Holy Spirit to the resurrection of Your Son, and to what that means for each and every one of us. We love You, Lord. We thank You, and we give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.